Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
And welcome to this special Let the Bible Speak broadcast. And we trust that very simply that the Bible will speak to you as you listen to it and as we worship God as well. We're going to take for our scripture reading the book of 1 John and the chapter 5. And we're going to read the opening 13 verses together. So 1 John chapter 5, commencing at verse 1 and reading to verse 13. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. And we trust that God will bless that reading of his word to your hearts. We just simply pray for the Lord to be with us as we continue to worship him. Gracious God and loving eternal Heavenly Father, and we thank you for the fact that you sent your Son to be the Saviour of the world. We thank you that the Scripture reminds us that you sent your Son, that you sent him into this scene of time, that he might be preached and believed on in the nations. And we pray that as we consider thy Son today, as we would worship him, and we ask that you might just reveal him to us. We think of how this is the great purpose of the preaching of the gospel, to reveal your Son, and that he might be believed in and then lived out in this world. And so we pray very simply that you might accomplish your purpose through the reading and the preaching of the Word of God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to worship the Lord in singing a hymn. The hymn is "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness." Our topic today is saved and sure. We believe that there is the need to be saved. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 4, that we must be saved. But we want to think today about the subject of saved and sure. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, we read, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." If you've been involved in Christendom for any length of time at all, then you will have heard of the name of John Wesley. John Wesley, of course, was a wonderful preacher and a great Methodist preacher, and had a great impact on the world a few hundred years ago. Well, he'd been preaching for some time, and after a meeting on one occasion, an older saint came to him and said to him, "Mr. Wesley, are you sure of your salvation? Are you sure of your salvation?" And John Wesley simply said, "Yes, well, I believe that Jesus Christ came to this world to seek and to save those who are lost. I believe that I am in this world. I believe that I was lost. And so I believe that Christ died for me. Therefore, I believe that I am saved." But this man then continued on to probe him and said to him, "But are you sure you're saved?" John Wesley said, "Yes, I am sure I am saved. I believed on Jesus and I now am saved." But this man then continued on. He said, "But are you really sure? Are you really sure?" And this actually sent John Wesley into weeks and months of searching his heart and soul as to whether he was actually saved. And in our experience in church history, in the Bible, it seems that this issue of doubting one's salvation is an age-old issue. This thought, really, of, am I a Christian? Can I be sure that I'm a Christian? It's something that has plagued the best of saints as well as the simplest of saints. And this age-old problem of doubting one's salvation or being sure of one's salvation, it was obvious here in the church to which John was writing to. Bible commentators believe that John was writing to the church at Ephesus. He's getting on now in his life, and as he is getting on now, he writes in chapter 2, verse 1 of this book, to those whom he describes as my little children. These were individuals who he saw as his children in the faith. And so in writing, he writes on different themes, but the one domineering theme in this book is found in verse 13, the verse that we read to you. "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life." In other words, he's dealing with this problem, that we may know that we have eternal life. This term, "know," it's actually used 40 times in this book of 1 John. And so time and time again, you see John, and he's dealing with this problem of knowing that we have eternal life. And I believe here in 1 John chapter 5, in the opening 13 verses that we have read together, we have help here. We have something for you to take on board, for you to evaluate your life by, and for you then to have this answer to this question. Am I really a Christian? And if it answers that question in the positive, then you can most definitely be sure that you have eternal life. The Bible teaches that we can have eternal life. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, Paul writing to Timothy, he states, "I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." What did Paul say to Timothy? He said, "That you may know, I know whom I have believed." And this was the reason that he was not ashamed. You see, you cannot merely be saved, but you can also be sure that you're saved. "That you may know that you have eternal life." Wonder today, are you saved? Do you name the name of Jesus Christ? Can you say that you have, like Romans 10 tells us, that you have called on the name of the Lord? Because the promise is, whosoever shall call shall be saved. If you've called on God today, the Bible tells you you are saved. But perhaps you're lacking that assurance of that. That assurance that you indeed are saved. I believe here are a few things that deal with the issue of being saved and sure. And just for a few moments, I want to think about this, this thought or this theme of saved and sure. The first thing I think we see here, the first way in which you can be sure that you are saved, is the walk of the believer. The walk of the believer. In these opening five verses, John, he shows the individuals in Ephesus that as they have a changed walk, as they walk in a different manner, that that actually is an evidence. It is an assurance to them that they are saved. In verse 1, he states, "Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him." John, writing to believers, he tells them that they believed in Jesus Christ, and when they believed in Jesus Christ, they are born of God. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, this term believeth in the original text, it's in the present continuous tense. What does that mean? It simply means this. It means that there was a time in their life when they believed that Jesus Christ was the Christ, was the Messiah. And when they believed in Jesus Christ, they instantaneously, they were born of God. But the tense doesn't here speak of a once-off belief in Jesus. It speaks of an ongoing belief in Jesus Christ. And so what he's really saying here is this. He is saying that it was not merely enough for them to believe once on Jesus Christ, believe once that he was the sent Son of God, but actually that in their day-to-day walk, in their day-to-day experience, that they continued to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so he speaks here. He speaks of continually believing that Jesus is the Son of God. So he speaks on believing in Jesus. But in verse 1 he also states, everyone that loveth him. Again, the tense is continuous. So he said, look, there was a time in your life experience when you believed in Jesus Christ and therefore you loved him, you gave your heart to him. But that's not merely an assurance that you are saved. He speaks of this ongoing belief in Jesus Christ and this ongoing in love for Christ. And so this verse in verse 1 is simply teaching this, is that their walk in Ephesus, as they walked in a society that did not love God, that did not love Jesus Christ, that worshipped the great goddess Diana, as you read about in the book of Acts, that as they lived in such a society, that they continued to believe in Jesus Christ, and they continued to love him. Believeth on him, everyone that loveth him. And my friend, it's one thing to have a recognition of Christ. It's another thing entirely to have a walking, working relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, you may say that there was a time in your life when you believed in Christ and you loved him and you gave your heart to him. But the assurance that you will possess at this moment in time, if you're truly a Christian, is this, is that you continue to believe in him. That you continue to love him. That you continue to walk with him. And so the question, my friend, is this. Is not merely was there a time in your past did you believe in him and did you love him? But the question is this. Is do you believe on him now and do you love him now? That's the great question. Do you genuinely believe that Jesus, not merely is a good man, but Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And do you love him as such? If you claim to love Jesus Christ, if you claim to have this wonderful, this new relationship with Christ, that this will evidence, this will manifest itself in different ways. Look at verse 2. It speaks of knowing that we love God when we keep his commandments. You can claim that you believe in Christ. You can claim that you believe in God and you love God. The revelation of that will be if you seek to keep his commandments, if you seek to live by the Bible. Verse 4 speaks of overcoming the world as well. And so I ask you, my friend, do you have this change, this renovated walk with God? Because if there's a change in your life that you desire to walk with God and believe in God and love God and keep his commandments, then that's actually a wonderful assurance to you that you're a Christian. Whenever Abraham Lincoln was seeking to free slaves, he found this. He found that many of them, Although they were set free legally, judicially, that pronouncement was made by the courts and so on. When they were set free legally, they still experientially lived like slaves. They did not live or behave like free men. And my friend, when you understand that legally you've been set free because him whom the Son sets free is free indeed, when you understand that, it'll have an impact upon your life. And you'll live like a free man. And that is a help to you, an evidence to you that you indeed are a Christian. The walk of the believer. Secondly, another evidence here in these verses is the witness within the believer. The witness within the believer. Verses 9 and 10, we read, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. So John here, he speaks about the witness of God. And he makes a logical statement in verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. He's saying in everyday life, you receive witness, you receive the testimony of men. Your family, whatever it might be. They come to you, they tell you something, they bear witness to something. And you believe it, you receive it. But he states here in this verse that the witness of God is greater. In other words, when God says something to you, it's far greater than any man. The witness of God is greater. Now, what is this witness? Well, in verse 10, we read of what God witnesses concerning the work of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. What does he say? He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. He's saying this. He's saying, if you believe in Jesus, if you claim to be a Christian, you'll have a witness within yourself. Something will tell you within that you are born of God. He's speaking about the work of the Spirit in the life of the believer. You see, yes, you have a changed walk externally, but you also have a clear witness internally. Within you, my friend, is a little piece of heaven upon earth. It's the Spirit of God. When you receive Jesus Christ by faith, you receive the Spirit of God entering into your heart and soul and mind. That's the witness within yourself. And so I again ask you the question today. Have you this witness within yourself? Do you find that whenever you seek to sin, that there's something within you telling you, look, this is wrong? Or perhaps there's even that influence within you that is actually preventing you from even doing that thing. That is kind of saying to you, no, don't do that. Or if you do something, there is that witness. Look, you've done the right thing there. That's the witness of the Spirit of God. My friend, that is a wonderful assurance to you that you're a Christian. Romans 8:16, Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Galatians 4:6, because your sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That term, Abba, Father, it's a lovely term there. In the original text, the term Abba, Father, it's the cry of the child. It's really Daddy. It's that warm, that affectionate cry that the child has for its father. Daddy. What he's saying is this. When the Spirit of God enters your heart, you have that, as a child of God, you have that wonderful affection where you just reach out for your heavenly Father. When you have this kind of relationship, that's evidence that the Spirit of God is working within you. And indeed that you are a Christian. The walk of the believer and the witness within the believer. Lastly, the word to the believer. Verses 11 and 12. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son, that he that hath the Son hath life. John here has spoken about things within the believer. Things that are subjective. He's speaking about that witness within himself. And he's speaking here about that personal belief and love for Christ. Now he speaks about something outside. Verse 11, this is the record. He's saying there's something outside of you. There's a record outside of you that also bears witness that you're a Christian. He's speaking here about the Bible. And John then very, very bluntly and very clearly tells these believers, look, you have a word to you from heaven. In verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He is saying to you in his word, look, God's spoken to you. God has saved you. And this is God's word to you. God's word tells you very simply, if you have the Son, then you have life. My friend, that's God's word to you. You have the Son. You have life. He that hath the Son hath life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've called upon Jesus Christ to save you, God's word tells you, you are saved. This outside, this external record, this is the record. God's word's telling you today, something outside of yourself, you indeed are a Christian. Yes, you have these things subjectively within you. That walk, that love for God, that witness within yourself. But God's word tells you that he gives to you eternal life, John 10:28, and you'll never perish. You'll never perish. So I trust that these few thoughts and these few remarks on 1 John chapter 5 have the result of verse 13. Have that wonderful, that assuring impulse upon the life that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I trust today that by listening to this, that you indeed will know that you have eternal life, that you're not merely saved, but that you're sure that you're saved. May God bless his word to your hearts and lives today. We'll just close our time together before God in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of eternal life. And we just pray that you might not merely give the gift of eternal life to individuals, but give them the assurance. Give them what John speaks of here, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.